December, I believe it was the 15th of this month, that was one of three required times for all the Jewish men to congregate in Jerusalem, come to the temple. That, through Christ, is now no longer a requirement, but we come to celebrate his resurrection that proved through God's pleasure that he was had taken care of our debt of sin, that we might live with him. Let us celebrate today and welcome. We'll be singing from the overhead. If you would please stand and join us.
Thank you. morning is coming from John 20, verses 19 through 31. And on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." There he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus did many other miracles and signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book.
I just have two quick announcements. The first is in your bulletin under upcoming events, there's listed communion for next Sunday on April 27th. We have a conflict in scheduling. That will not happen next Sunday. It will happen in 2 weeks on May 4th. We'll have communion at 7 p.m. on May 4th. The other is in the back of the in the narthex there, on either end of the table, we would like to just present you with these. You can pick them up on your way out, and feel free to do that. And if you have any for friends who would like to have that, please pick up one for them as well. That's all I have. Junior church is dismissed.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, choir. Didn't they do a great job? Praise the Lord. Yes. The Lord is risen. I know you can do better than that. The Lord is risen. Amen. Absolutely. I'd like to invite you to take out your outline for the service. Actually, it's going to be in two parts. The first part, of course, is going to be what is a better life that Jesus offers. And we're going to see why that in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross, he offers a better life for all of us. And then the second part is the how-to. Don't you love it when the Word of God is preached or taught? It's not only knowing these things, but how to apply them to our lives. And so we're going to be looking at the second part later on. What we'd like to do is invite you to take out your outline. You know, Easter is all about coming alive. And that's why the title of this message is Coming Alive. And actually, this is a first of a series of six messages with regard to living the better life. But that better life, it starts with coming alive in Jesus. And that's why we began here on Resurrection Sunday, that we acknowledge, but we also apply that resurrected life of Jesus Christ to our lives. So are you ready? All right, we've got a number of things. First of all, just to kind of set the table, if you will. Oftentimes, you'll see churches and individuals and groups celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and rightly so. It was a historical event, greatly documented. In fact, it's one of the greatest historical events in all of human history, the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's one of the most documented events in all the history of humanity. The crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, oftentimes for many, it's just a historical event. But truly it is. But we're going to see in the Word of God that it's not only an historical event that we rejoice in and we celebrate and we praise and we declare, but it's also an ever-present experience that you and I can have. Do you realize that the four Gospels certainly, without a doubt, present the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, but the remaining 23 books of the New Testament are all about what we're going to talk about today. Now, we're not going to go through all 23 books in the New Testament, but the theme is personally applying the death and resurrection, the saving life of Jesus Christ in the life of every man, woman, and boy and girl. And so that's why it is indeed good news. Amen? It is good news. To God be the glory. So come with me as we take a look at some of the verses, just to kind of set the preface of our study, just a brief look at what is the better life. I'm not talking about the good life. I'm talking about the better life. Better than the good life that you and I have experienced. But take a look at some of the verses. In just a little while, this is from John 14, 9. It's from the Message. Some of you have that as a devotional Bible, the Message. It's an English translation. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me. The Lord is talking to his disciples there in the upper room. But you are going to see me because I am alive, and you're about to come alive. And they did. They came alive. And the saving life of the Lord Jesus Christ radiated through their lives and through their speech. But let's go on to the next verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, as far as an application of that saving life, the risen life of our Savior. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, Paul writes, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This better life is really a new life in Jesus Christ. Prophesied in the Old Testament by the major and the minor prophets, taught in the Mosaic Law even, and the sacrifices. Let's go on to the next verse right there before you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again from the Message. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. That's you and I. That's right now. That's at some time in the future. That's right now. As a resurrection life, a far better life than people have ever lived on their own. Yes, Easter Sunday is all about coming alive, about being alive in Jesus Christ, about having his life livingly pulsating through the life of the church. A lot of people say, well, Bill, I'm living the good life. Are you? You know, when we compare our lives in our culture, in our time, in our country, compared to some of the other cultures, we can actually say we're living a good life. Now, if you have good health, that might qualify for a good life. If you have a house, we eat every day. There's a lot of parameters to that good life that we seem to have so identified. And we encourage our kids as they grow up to live the good life. I'm talking about a better life. Better, far better than the good life. Because you know the dirty little secret about the good life is this. Those who are striving to, and I say striving, to live the good life, find out that they are absolutely exhausted. Trying to keep up with the rat race, you know what I mean? Trying to keep up with everything and all the other schedules and everything else. Not only are they exhausted, but they find that the good life is also an empty life. Because if we define the good life as things that we possess, as the good life, whenever we lose those things, or those things that we possess, all of a sudden they turn out to be old things, and we want the new things, we're never satisfied, and we have that sense of emptiness. We're going to talk about how that empty sense of the good life can be filled with a new purpose and new meaning for the better life. There's something else, too, that the good life, a lot of people don't tell you. Not only is it exhausting to just try to keep up with everybody, to keep up with the Joneses and everything else, and not only is it some emptiness, if you will, that you feel, because you wonder, is this really worth it? Is it really worth it? And sometimes you hear that echo in your heart and the soul of your being and say, no, it's really not. It's sort of like that fellow who said, you know, is climbing up the ladder in the corporation, and at the end of my term, at the end of my profession, at the end of my career, I found I had the ladder on the wrong wall. Oh. Have you found yourself like that? That's why it's so important as we rejoice and celebrate our crucified, risen, and returning Savior, to know what he talks about as far as the better life, not just the good life. But there's something else, too, another dirty little secret about the good life that many are striving to have and to experience, is that it's a life that can enslave us. It can enslave us. Living up to the expectations of other people. Have you been doing that? Do you know what I mean? And you say, well, they expect me to do this. That's an entrapment. It really is. And there's many other kinds of entrapments in the good life. Well, this morning we're talking about that better life. And I pray that each and every one of us have that. That better life in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Take a look, if you will. What is the better life Jesus offers? Well, number one, it's a life filled with meaning and purpose through the risen Christ. Take a look at that verse before you. From the Old Testament, from Jeremiah. Jeremiah talked about having a new heart, having a new life. So did Isaiah, so did Ezekiel. And then what they were talking about is the better life, not just the good life, but the better life that we can have, the new life. It is a new life filled with meaning and purpose through the risen Christ. God says these words in his word, the Bible, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know what the Lord is talking about there? Not just the good life. A lot of people are seeking to live the good life, and they are exhausted, they are empty, and they are entrapped. But what the life that the Lord gives us in himself and of himself is the better life that is filled with meaning and purpose, because God has planned it so. God has created every one of us for a purpose, for a meaning that far outweighs anything that could give meaning to the good life, because the good life is just so fleeting, like a vapor. But the better life in Jesus Christ has substance, has meaning, has purpose. Why? Because God has planned it that way. You see, right from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, and in his wonderful plan of creation and redemption, he wants men and women and boys and girls to know what a meaningful and purposeful life is that goes beyond their possessions, goes beyond their position, goes beyond their profession, and goes beyond their retirement years as well. That word there, circle it if you will, prosper. Prosper. That word in that verse is translated, that's copied from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, is a word, the root word is shalom. And shalom means to be complete, have a fullness of life from within, not from without. You see, that's what the good life holds out as a carrot before us. You can have the good life if you just keep filling your life from outside. That ain't going to happen. But the better life is that which God has purposed in his Son, Jesus Christ, for all of us. You see, many are still living a confused life. They think having a full life is having a meaningful life. Until they begin to see that full life that they once had, full of health, full of vigor, full of energy, full of opportunity, all of a sudden it begins to diminish. And later on in life they say, was it all worth it? Was it all worth it? And you have that resounding echo in your heart responding to that. No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter described, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a living hope, and God to enable us to have a life of meaning and purpose. And the Son says, we have everything we need for life, and living a life in accordance with God's will for his glory. Amen? That's great. That's great. God's word speaks. You see, this living the good life, we can easily get into the pattern of thinking and acting that we begin to live for ourselves and ourselves only. The trouble with living for ourselves is we're up and down emotionally. We go through all sorts of seasons of life. If we're living for ourselves and we happen to be bitter at the moment, we live for our bitterness. If we're living for ourselves and we happen to be worrying at the moment, we're living for our worrisome. If we happen to be depressed at the moment, we're only living for that depression. What I'm saying is all of these things can consume our lives without Jesus Christ. Living that better life that Jesus offers. Number two on your outline is not only having a life of meaning and purpose through the risen Christ, it's a life freed, circle that word, freed by grace through the crucified and risen Savior. Take a look at the verse you have there, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Jesus replied, "This is my Lord and Savior. This is your Lord and Savior. If you put your faith and trust in him, this is the one who died for you and rose again triumphantly from the grave." And he has declared, he says, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." We all know that. We know that. And God tells us that very clearly. We're a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Then notice what he has. It's emboldened there. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." What was Jesus talking about? Being free from the penalty of sin? Being free from the dominion of sin? Being free from its control in our lives? You see, because living the better life in Jesus Christ is a life of freedom and forgiveness. Isn't that great? Freedom and forgiveness. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in that perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, God's Son, and proved by his resurrection, the tomb is empty. Praise God, aren't you glad?
Yeah.
I sure am. And because of those realities that become a present experience in life of the man or woman who believes in him, they are set free. That's why God can say and tell us in his word, and God wants to tell you and me in our hearts, the man or woman or boy or girl who is in Christ Jesus. And what that phrase "in Christ Jesus" means is that you're trusting in him, you're relying upon him, you're believing in him, the risen one. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation, a new life. Not just the good life, but the better life. Old things are passed away. I thank the Lord that when I commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, things of my past will never haunt me again. Aren't you glad? Not just for me. We're glad. We're glad for yourself. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What he's talking about there is living the better life through the power of the risen Savior. The same power of God that rose Christ triumphantly from the grave is the same power at work in the life of every man, every woman, every boy or girl who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that by myself. God says it in his word. Aren't you glad he says it? Yeah. So it's a new life freed by grace through the crucified and risen Savior. For it is by grace we've been saved through faith, not through works. Maybe you're here today and this is the first time you're hearing the gospel message of grace. Maybe you're here the first time and you're hearing that the reality of Christ's resurrection can be a present, everyday, living experience in your life today. You also need to know it's by the grace of God as a gift. Nothing we can earn, nothing we deserve, nothing we could work for in any way, but it's a gift of God's grace. Aren't you glad? Because see, if it depended upon us, If that living, the better life, depended solely upon you or me, how would we know that we did all we possibly could to earn it? We'd never know. We'd be living in doubt all the time. God doesn't want us to live in doubt. He wants to live us with the amazing grace that he gives in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I can live the better life, not the good life, the better life, through Jesus Christ, a life free by grace through the crucified and risen Savior. Take a look at the third verse there. "Therefore there is now no condemnation You know, when Christ cried out there in one of the seven statements, there, next to the last statement Christ made from the cross, before he committed his life to the Father in heaven, he cried out, "It is finished." Now I know some would have us to believe that Christ, in just absolute exhaustion, said in a very weak voice, "It's finished." That's not how John records it. That's not how it happened. He cried out. And he used the word tetelestai. You know what tetelestai means? It means it's paid in full. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, in the perfect sacrifice that he was and is today, because of his resurrection, it truly is proven before all of the heavens and all the earth that indeed he paid it in full. For you, for me. You know, we buy things on time. Have you ever bought a car on time? I have. You know what I mean? Or whatever it might be. Or maybe you purchase your house and you're making mortgage payments and finally you pay the last payment. Wasn't that good? Yeah. And then you get the title deed, if you will, to the house, or you get the title to the car, and it's stamped what? Paid in full. Right? That's what Jesus did for you and for me. That's why he can give us the better life, not just the good life, that everybody is striving for until exhaustion, trying to fill their lives until they find they're empty, doing this and that and finding they're entrapped, and they call it the good life. And Jesus says, no, that's a life of death. That's a life of hopelessness. But what I want to give to you is a life that is filled with joy and hope and peace and freedom and grace. I want to give to you the better life. And thirdly, it's a new life with power through the risen Christ. Take a look at that verse that we have there, right there in your paper before you. It's Romans chapter 8. But in the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You see, a wonderful thing happens when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. They're fully paid. You're no longer condemned before the judgment of God. You have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Christ within you, the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead triumphantly is the same power of God through His Spirit that works in the life of every believer. Because the truth of the matter is, beloved, none of us can live the Christian life in a manner that's pleasing to our Father. We need His power. We need His energizing. We need His grace. We need His work within our lives. And that's why it says here, he who raised Christ from the dead will also live, give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now I know some have said, well, that's later, Bill. That's at the resurrection. In this context here, it's not later, it's right now that He will empower our lives. There is a promise from God through His wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something, beloved? Every promise that God gives us through His Son, God says, amen. God says, amen. You know what amen means? So be it. Let it be done. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul says. And then he goes on to say in that same epistle, again speaking about experiencing the better life in Christ Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to turn right now. If you don't have a pew Bible or your own Bible, I want you to turn right now. If you have your own Bible or a pew Bible, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28, very familiar passage for many. But maybe it's a new passage for you. And if it is, I'm glad that you're here today. I really am. I thank the Lord you're here. You're not here by chance. You're not here by luck. You're here by the sovereign purpose and grace and will of God. Isaiah chapter 40, are you there? Verses 28 through 31. You do not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired, though we grow tired and weary. And he has his understanding known to fathom. He gives strength to the weary. Aren't you glad? He'll give you strength. That's part of living the better life. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even though youths grow tired and weary, you young people are here today. Don't you ever grow tired and weary? Weary of it all? I've been there, done it. Us who are a little older, we know how weariness is. And young men stumble and fall, but those who hope, if you have your own Bible, I want you to do something. I want you to circle that word hope. Because in some English translations it has trust, and some English translations it has wait. But the root derivation of that word, kava, means to bind to. To bind to. You know what the prophet is saying? That when you and I bind our hearts in faith to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of this he fulfills in the better life that you and I will experience because of Christ. As we bind our hearts to him, take a look, if you will. Those who hope, those who trust, those who wait, those who bind their hearts in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's the what. That's the what of living a better life. And just in a few minutes, I'll share with you how you can have, without a doubt, how can you have that assurance of living that better life? What?
Worship hymns. Easter song. This is also our offertory portion of our service, and we just return to as a token of our appreciation and our thankfulness some of the blessings that the Lord has given to us. Would the ushers please come forward?
Take this offering, Lord. We just pray that you use these funds to reach many people in the mountain and throughout the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Bells ringing, they're singing twice as loud.
Page are what we as a congregation have for prayer needs. I would just like to mention the groupings, prayer for the physical needs of, and we have many of those in our congregation who are have physical challenges. Prayer needs of the church itself for financial, the daycare, financial needs of that, and then shut-ins and nursing home folks that we try and get out to visit, and also our college students, some of whom are home for the Easter break, some of whom were not able to make it home. So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. We lift up the needs of this congregation, these people. We ask that you would touch those who are in need of physical healing. Use your hand as a great tool to minister to them in their need. Lord, we lift up this body that we thank you for the resources that you've given us, and we ask that you help us use those well, and that you would bless the use of them for the spreading of your gospel. Lord, your people who cannot make it here, we just lift them up to you and ask that you would encourage them through visits and encourage them with your presence. And finally, Lord, our young people who are away at school, we just lift them up to you. They'll be coming home soon, and we just ask that you would give them success in their studies. Lord, just allow us to give us opportunities to share with others what you've done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
His life for mine. How good.
great and a great powerful message, and that message is Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. And the better life, the new life that he gives all who put their faith and trust in him. I'd like to invite you to take out that the last slide, just the second part. How can I live this better life? I found in meeting with even born-again believers, those who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're saying, you know, I'm really struggling here, Bill. How can I live that better life? How can I live, and how can I know the fullness of Christ in my life? And that's exactly what God wants us to do. I've had times, too, when I was dry like a desert. Have you been there? You know what I mean? And how the Lord is right there to refresh and revive and to renew us. Because he really, really, really wants us to live that better life in him. That our lives would be walking billboards of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So come with me, if you will, as we take a look into God's word again. How can I live that better life? Now, if you're here and you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you find that your life is really not exactly what God describes in his word, and you know in your heart you're not living that better life, you're even struggling with trying to live the good life, you're exhausted, you're entrapped, you're empty, may God speak to your heart today to live that new life to the fullness. Jesus Christ said that he came to give life more abundant. I believe that the scripture is absolutely clear that abundant life can be experienced right here and now. Because he's alive. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go. Know that Jesus Christ, number one, know that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead to give you this better life, this new life in him. Again, take a look at John 10, verse 10. You have there before you. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. That's exactly what happens. This world will grind you down. The activities of the devil will grind your life down. And at the same time, offer you the good life. Jesus Christ never does that. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. By his grace. By his power. Take a look at what he says here. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Have abundant life. Paul knew that. He had a past that he was ashamed of. He had guilt as well. He had sinned, just like you and I. But he knew that Jesus Christ indeed is the very Lamb of God who took away the sins of Paul as he put his faith in him. For Christ died for our sins once for all. Christ isn't going to die again. He only had to die once, completely. And the proof of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ is his resurrection. Think of this. No other religious leader in all of history, and there have been many, no other religious leader in all of the world, and you can think of any other religions, has ever died and rose again. Why is that so? Have you ever asked yourself? God knew that many would ask. And that's why he tells us clearly in his word. You see, only the Son of God could be that perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Could pay in full the penalty for our sins. And through the power of his resurrected life, give us power over sin. Oh, not that we're going to be perfect. That day is yet to come. But the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ knows the power of that cleansing blood. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those words were penned by the Apostle John. We're born again believers, just like you and I. You know why that is so? That God provides that cleansing, that our fellowship in him would be renewed and deepened and grow, because he really, really, really wants you and I to live that better life. Take a look at some other verses. Number two, call upon him for forgiveness and the fullness of new life. Here again, a quote from Jeremiah. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's a continuation from the previous verse we said, that we wrote, where God declares he has a plan for your life. not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give a future and a hope. Our response is that we call upon him. Have you called upon him in faith, believing for forgiveness, for that new life? I'm going to ask you to do that if you've never done that. Very simply today. And then you will call upon me, he says, and I will come. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Take a look also at 1 John chapter 5, verse 111. And this is the testimony God has given us. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son, say this together with me. He who has the Son has what?
Life.
And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Don't you love it when God says it's only black and white? It's not a gray area there. And you know why it is? So that you and I, based upon the declared word of God, can know that if you have the Son, you have that life. But if you don't have the Son of God as your Lord and Savior, the best you can hope for is a good life filled with exhaustion, filled with emptiness, filled with entrapment. Let's go on. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. A new life, a better life, of meaning and purpose, forgiveness and freedom, power and promise, eternal life now. Let's go on to number three, if you will. How can I live this better life? Trust in his grace and power to live this better life. He will live that life through you. He will live that life within his church and give us that victory. God is able to make all. I want you to do me a favor. Take that verse that we're going to be reading right now, and if you have a pen, I want you to circle all the times we come to the word all. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. For God is able to make a little grace, right? Now all grace abound to you, so that having what?
All
sufficiency in what? All things in at all times, you may abound in every good work. His grace is there for each and every one of us to live by his power, by his grace, that better life, that new life in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we'll ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. I know I've met men and women, and I'm sure you have too, many ways to talk about a spiritual life. I've asked different ones, after presenting the good news, the gospel to them, would you like to give your life to Christ right now? Would you like to put your trust and faith and bind your heart to his heart right now? And I've had men, and I've had women tell me, you know, Bill, I don't want to do it because I might fail. I might fail. I don't want to commit my life to Christ and to that life. Because what if I fail? You know what my answer is? We will fail. We will fail. But God is faithful. And he will pick us up like he did with David, like he did with Paul, like he did with Barnabas, like he did with Mary, like he did with Mary Magdalene. He will pick us up because he really, really wants you and I to live that better life, that new life. Call upon him, trust in him, trust in his grace and power to live this better life. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. You see, the life, the better life, the new life, is a life that grows. It's never stagnant. It grows. It's a life that grows in the knowledge and a relationship you can have with Jesus. If you're here this morning, and you're saying, Bill, I know I'm missing out on this. I know that I've just been striving to live the good life, but I know that it's emptiness. I know that I'm exhausted, and I know that I've been entrapped by so many things, and I don't want to be entrapped by them. I want to have that forgiveness. I want to have that freedom. I want to have that power of God in my life to live a life that is pleasing to God, my Heavenly Father. You're saying right now, Bill, today, on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. If you have that Spirit-given desire within your heart, you can do that right now. And begin to experience anew and afresh the better life. But maybe you're here this morning and you've heard the old, old story. Christ died on the cross. Christ rose from the tomb. And it's just history. But not your experience. I'm going to invite you to this morning to pray this prayer that you have at the bottom of that sheet. If you want to rededicate your life, pray this prayer with me. If you want to change your life and bind your heart to God's heart today through faith believing in His Son Jesus Christ, would you pray this prayer with me now? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Just join with me in this prayer. Dear God, I want to begin living the better life that you offer me in your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to start living for you and not for myself. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead, and now give new life to all who trust in you. I ask you to forgive my sins and give me that better life in you. I ask you to take charge of my new life. Help me to live and show others that life with you really is the better life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
weary, burdened, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, as we live our lives here, we ask that we would pursue you, that we could see that rest, and that we could become more like your Son.